Disclaimer, in this episode I talk about my dad's dick.
Hey there, could I interest you in some content? Cause you're looking like you're needing some fresh off the press, and this might be the best of the best with two guests. Can you guess what we're doing today? Cause I can't say, this is only presumably content.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Content, presumably a podcast. As ever, I've got some wonderful guests on. Our first guest tonight, he is actually a returning guest.
Woot woot!
That's right, it's the only man ever documented as actually waiting the 10 minutes that Ben and Jerry's recommends you wait before starting a tub. It's Phil Better. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing excellent, and it's very important that you do wait that 10 minutes because it gets it nice and soft. Before you start digging in, because or else it's too hard and it's like, oh, you're my bent spoon.
No, you're just wrong. I can't. Because if you got a fresh tub, I'm keen to get straight into a fresh tub. I had a girlfriend.
And you had probably, a girlfriend. That's good for you.
I had a girlfriend. This probably impacted the reason that she's not my girlfriend anymore. Her parents insisted on waiting like psychopaths.
Dear Lord.
That was all that it was.
It was just the waiting. That was
all it was. Our second guest tonight is a man who claims to be not just Spartacus, but also the real Slim Shady. It's Dante. How you doing, Dante?
Please stand up.
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm Rory M. Spence, most popular podcaster. I don't... What?
Is this
very rude
what
to,
you said? Like, you said you had something bad.
I'm talking.
Is this all it was?
No.
It's very rude to not know who your guest is. This accent's falling apart.
This is already the best podcast.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
It slowly just turned Canadian towards me.
I thought it was pretty good in the first bit.
Oh, the first bit was wonderful. Then it went to Mrs. Doubtfire, and then it just was a Canadian.
So that one's out there for you, Rory M. Spence fans.
Oh, God.
Of which
no, but
I'm
I feel
sure
like,
you all are.
I feel like it's a testament to how confident I am in myself that I claim to be both Spartacus and Slim Shady. Like, I feel like that just...
And Scottish.
Yeah, and Scottish. Also
so,
a little
boys.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Boys, I was in a British shop recently, and they were having a book sale, and they were selling sort of a lot of books that you get 2 for £5, which is a pretty decent deal.
That is good.
But a lot of them were kind of stocking fillery books, because, well,
it's
we're
Christmas.
Recording this on the 14th of December, ladies and gentlemen. You will be listening to this in March. So yeah. It's
there
the
will
Christmas
be a lot of Christmas spirit on this episode
yeah.
for your Christmas
so,
in March, for those of you that wait.
I bought two books. I bought Fahrenheit 451, a popular sort of dystopian tale.
And
I
it's
also
turned into a movie, too.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
It's going
to
be interesting.
Because now I've got the book, so I can read the book and then lord it over people, all the differences that I spotted and why I'm better than they are.
Oh, God, you're one of those.
I am one of those. I think I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like the How to Train Your Dragon movies. Literally, just because they're nothing like the books.
I didn't know they were books.
Exactly, yeah. I loved the books as a child, and it just upset me so much the first one in the cinema, even though it's objectively a very good film.
See, like
I just hate it.
I was exposed to the books like right in between the first and the second How to Train Your Dragon film. The books are so different that it was like okay for me, if that makes sense. Like if they're
yeah.
different but only slightly, that irritates me, because it's like, why are you cutting out just some various scenes seemingly randomly? But if it's like leagues and leaps and bounds like apart from each other, then that's all right. It's like two different interpretations.
Yeah, I think it helps as well if you've seen the film first, because then you don't care so
that's
much
true.
About the differences.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't feel as bad because you haven't had that excitement of a book you like coming to a live action, or
yeah,
you, obviously this wasn't a live action thing, but you get
I can't wait till
saying.
They do that. I can't wait till they make a live action you know, How to Train Your Dragon. Disney's
I mean,
on it. I'm guaranteeing Disney's going
to
do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, the book's premise is way better. Just, like, he has a mini dragon. He still sucks, basically.
Yeah, he's just got this useless... So, the people who don't know, Toothless in the books is just this useless piece of shit dragon.
Don't hold back.
He's like a little rodent.
It doesn't breathe fire. It does fuck all of any use. It never helps. It like at the end of the third book, it saves his life, and you're like, I didn't even realize he could move. He just does fuck all day. And that's what makes him such an endearing character, because I do fuck all day. You know, I could relate to that. I can't relate to a dragon that goes invisible and is useful. Because, you know, it's a dragon already, and I don't have the confidence to call myself a dragon, so I can't relate that far. The second book that I bought at this sale is the Star Wars Joke Book. Now, this appears to be a recent publication, because it does, of course, say Disney on it.
I'm looking forward to this.
So, the premise of this book, there's some actual gold in here. There's a lot of just, I don't even get what they're going for. But the premise of this book is that, in the beginning, it tells a small story about how Jabba's favorite jester has been fed to the Rancor because he got bored of him. And what ensues...
Was it Mark Hamill?
It was not Mark Hamill. He is an unnamed character. They don't even name him. There's an in-loving memory page with, like, his whole bio, and he doesn't have his name.
Wow.
And what this sets up is a comedy contest between, I'm pretty sure it's 60 Star Wars characters.
Wait, like, known Star Wars characters, or are we just, like, making up Star Wars characters at this point?
No, real Star Wars characters.
Please tell me Han Solo's there.
Is this like the holiday special, but a game show?
More or less, yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's very odd. So what we've got is we've got a couple pages devoted to each character. We're not going to do them all. We'll do as many until we get bored, and then we'll move on. But at the end of everything, every set, as it were, there's a scorecard out of 10 of which you can write in your score and definitively decide who should be Jabba's new jester. So I think it would make sense for us. Well, we'll see how good his set is. I don't think he's got one. Though he is pictured on the back of the book just laughing. Now, there are some great laughing animations in this. And when I say animations, I just mean artwork, because there's ha-ha written basically everywhere, but the H's are TIE fighters.
Oh, I like that.
Brilliant. There's LOL, and the O is so many different things in the LOL, guys. We get the Rebel logo, we get the Death Star. Those are the only two things that come to mind. I may have set that up like there was more things there isn't. But...
One time it's Jabba's face, one time it's Toothless. Crossover.
The first ever Disney crossover.
Starting, because of course you'd have nothing better to do, is Darth Vader. Do you want to hear some of Darth Vader's stand-up material?
Absolutely. Yes.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Because it could not resist the power of the dark side.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right. I have sprinkled the stormtroopers with salt and pepper. The Emperor requested seasoned troops.
Oh, God. That's such a dad joke.
So you didn't laugh, even though the next thing is Darth Vader saying, "You have my permission to laugh now."
See, now I have his permission, and now I'm gonna laugh.
I felt safe now.
I knew I wasn't going to get force choked to death.
All you have to do is say daddy and you're fine.
Yeah, guys, that was right, you that weren't supposed to laugh there. That was the abstract comedy bit that's funny, because it's not funny. If you laugh, I'll fucking kill you. What do you call a smuggler who has been frozen in carbonite? A hardened criminal.
That's pretty good. These are like, I'm imagining these as like the things that, like, you know those books where Luke and Leia are like 5 or 6 and they're living with Darth Vader, and it's like a little series about like him just being a dad for them. Like, I feel like these jokes are Luke that's like a kid's series, a kid's book series. And like, I imagine this is like Luke coming up to Darth Vader and being like, "Dad, what's a frozen in carbonite criminal called?" Or whatever you just said. And like, Darth Vader's just taking this into his stand-up routine. He's like, "I'm going on the road, kids. Your stuff's gold."
And they're very dad jokes, though. These are dad jokes.
Well, they have to market these to children, I think.
Yeah.
But this next one is genuinely a really good joke, I think. How many Sith Lords does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
Two. One to change the bulb, and one to destroy him and take the credit. That's good stuff.
That's pretty
it's
good.
True. It's true. That's that is pretty good. I like that.
That's good.
I'm going to use it in my stand-up, if I ever do stand-up.
And it says, "Actually, I never bother changing light bulbs. I am a Dark Lord, after all."
Ooh.
There's no joke there. He just says it. "Why shouldn't you ask to borrow money from Yoda? He's always a little short."
Oh, that's groan-worthy. I like it.
What do you call the person who brings the Rancor its dinner? An appetizer.
No. No.
Okay.
Not liking it.
What goes? So this could inform some of your fear from earlier about when you can laugh. What goes ha 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 Ah! Thump. A stormtrooper laughing at me.
That's genuinely terrifying.
You should put crickets in at this moment. There should be crickets. Editing cricket sound just because it's...
Instead of doing that, I might just edit the silence so that it's like 50% longer. So people think that they've accidentally paused the podcast.
Make it's them check better. Their phone. I always feel like I'm being pranked when that happens. Like, I look at my phone and I'm like, oh, I guess it's still going.
You bloody will now as well, because now I'm going to have made you paranoid with this. How did Boba Fett feel when he got a new jetpack? Uplifted. Now that's the end of Darth Vader's set. Out of 10, how do we feel, boys?
I feel like there were like two solid jokes there. So yeah. And there were like roughly 10 jokes, right? So I just feel like you just have to number how many landed. So I give it a solid 2 out of 10.
I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give him a 3.
So I'm going to give this like an 8 for me. First of all, because the Sith Lords changing a light bulb joke is good stuff.
That's true. Solid stuff.
When I bought this book, I just thought it'd be fun to have. I didn't have this podcast in mind, which means I flicked through it a bit, and I know this is the best it's ever going to be.
That's unfair. Oh, please tell me Yoda's in this.
I think Yoda does have a set. Yeah. There's a lot of obscure as hell characters, and then they haven't done very obvious ones. Like, there's the Rancor Tamer from the beginning. There's an Ewok. There's one of the Cantina Band players. There are people I never fucking heard of, but I'm sure they exist. There are several people from Jabba's Palace, though I guess that makes conceptual sense.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like Luke all anywhere. Of this is hosted by Jabba himself, isn't it? Isn't it lore that, like, he's hosting it himself to find his new jester or whatever?
There's a droid that isn't R2-D2. It's like an R2 droid, but it's not R2-D2.
How dare there be a droid in Star Wars that's not R2-D2?
There's only two droids in Star Wars.
Also, I mean, like, to be fair, R2 would be the funniest. Like, he's the funniest just in the series. Especially when people unbleep him.
He's got some good comedic beats in the series, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely put that in wrong. I tried to take the average of our scores, and it ended up higher than any of the ones I thought I put in, so I'm going to try that again. Right, so the average 6 from all of us is 4.
Oh.
So I'm going to put in a 4. So Darth Vader gets 4, which doesn't... You know, that's a bad sign for the rest of this, but it's Ben Kenobi up next.
Ooh, oh, Ben, boy. The man from the
desert.
He's
only got 3 jokes.
Oh, dear God.
Darth Vader's armor is very impressive. It must have cost an arm and a leg.
See, I like that, knowing the backstory. That's pretty good. Yeah.
You see, I feel like you might alienate fans, though, who doesn't know who Darth Vader is.
Yeah.
You know, at this comedy set, they don't know who Anakin Skywalker is. You know, they don't know his backstory.
They just look at him and he's got both legs. What's going on?
So, if we're thinking about this, who wins in who this book is being marketed to, very good joke. But if we think about this in the universe, because, you know, I'm a fan of some deep lore, you know?
Yeah.
That's not going to land. It's not going to land.
No, it's not good.
That's
0 out of 10.
Dumb reason
get out of here,
to
Ben.
This joke, but I'm going to fucking stick with it.
Ben can only do inside jokes. Get out of here.
Though I guess he does explain it in this next joke. Seriously, folks, his whole left side got cut off. Better hear he's... all right now.
Oh, that's horrible.
That was bad.
So
that's a groan.
After that, there's a image in the book which is a silhouette of Mace Windu, and it just says impressive.
So now if
see, I want to get some Mace Windu stand up now.
Ooh.
He's not in this one. But I guess this is published by Disney, which I can only assume makes it canon, which I guess means Mace Windu did survive the prequels.
Yeah.
This is definitely after that.
Unless could they be doing something alternate history type thing going on? I don't know.
Maybe.
Ben Kenobi technically is dead.
Bought this
by
book
the time.
To see where it lands in the canon.
Yeah, we have to ask Disney. I mean, Disney, if you're listening to us, and I know you are, you have to add Disney too for this podcast. We need to know, where does this joke book land in the lore? Like, because. Technically,
it's
Ben Kenobi's
necessary
dead
knowledge.
Too. He dies
everybody get on Twitter and fucking harass Disney.
Yeah.
Do not let it lie.
Is Luke in this book?
No.
No? Okay.
So we know what happens before episode...
Like, I'm trying to get, like, an idea of, like, what time period this is. Is Kylo Ren in this book?
Well, no,
Kylo Ren is not in this
Jabba
book.
Jabba the Hutt dies in Return of the Jedi. So it has to take place before Return of the Jedi, but also because Ben Kenobi's in it, it has to take place before A New Hope.
It's true. I mean, no, either way, if it's Ben Kenobi, then it definitely...
It's original trilogy Ben Kenobi.
Yeah, so if it's somewhere... Ben Kenobi, it definitely has to be after Revenge of the Sith, which means Mace Windu's alive. I mean, like, there was some concept art a while ago about that, so...
Yeah, so, it's happening canon. Between...
Samuel Jackson said as well, he's been incested in some interview.
Yeah, he's like no, guys,
he's alive. I mean, to be fair, the power to make this claim.
To be fair, Sam Jackson considers Mace Windu to be, like, the most badass Jedi there ever was. Because Sam Jackson considers himself to be the most badass there ever was.
Look, is there any other Jedi that actually has on their lightsaber, motherfucker?
No. Fair. He had that engraved.
He did.
I think if you have a purple lightsaber and you're still the coolest Jedi, then you probably are the most badass Jedi, because I don't think you need any more sort of validification than that. There's one more joke in Ben's set, which is he's had to stop playing cards since he got the robot arm, though. He just can't deal with it.
See, I feel like Ben's downfall here is that he's relying on everyone to know the backstory of Vader, which canonically in this time period,
real fun for Star Wars fans, but no one in Star Wars is a Star Wars fan. So
exactly, true.
I'm sorry, Ben.
10? 102 out of 10.
I give 0 out of 10. No, less.
I'll give him a 0.5. I'll give him a 0.5 just because he's Ben Kenobi and I like Ben Kenobi. You're getting a 0.5 from Simon Cowell.
Okay, well, our average there is 0.8, so I'm just going to put one.
Love it.
Now we get a guy who's not given a name. He's just given the name Rancor Keeper. He's got a dumbass smile. And he's not wearing a shirt.
I'm excited.
It appears that he's wearing a shirt on his head.
I already love him. I really love him. He's getting a 10 for me just for the shirt on his hand. He's channeling the machine, Bert Kreischer.
He clearly makes jokes from what he knows. How can you tell if there's a Rancor living in your refrigerator?
I don't know
how. Claw prints in the butter. It's just not a joke.
I'm going to just take my 10 away from him right now and just give him a 0.
It's just no joke
fucking
there.
Horrid. It's just a statement. It's
there's
a statement
no play
of fact.
On words.
Well, he is a fucking Rancor handler. He's not the smartest fucking guy in the world. Do we not see a Return of the Jedi, folks? Listen.
I mean, he does, like, weep, like, uncontrollably.
For goddamn.
Are you understanding now why I wanted to give Darth Vader a really high score?
Let's go back to Vader. Give him a 10 out of 10.
Look, Disney, I need to go at Disney. Disney, you're not supposed to put your opener as the best. You're supposed to put him as your closer or your mid-game. That's how you do a set.
Also, like, if you just look at, like, the progression, it's Darth Vader, Ben Kenobi, Rancor guy.
Yeah, no.
You can't get much more obscure than Rancor guy.
Darth Vader's
next up
is
C-3PO, to be fair.
You put your big name as a closure, then you get the little fucking nobodies. Who wrote this? I need to talk to Disney about this.
I'm also irritated.
What's their number?
I'm also irritated that Luke's not in it making jokes about power converters.
Oh, God. Wait, is Uncle Ben in this?
No. So then we get, what did the Rancor say when it ate the Wookiee? Chewy. Again, decent joke for Star Wars fans, not a good joke for Star Wars characters.
People.
No.
Inhabitants.
Please tell me there's a picture of Star Wars. Please tell me there's a picture of someone like, what's his name there? Cloud City Boy.
Lando.
What's his name in them? Lando laughing. At least.
No, there's a silhouette of Jabba the Hutt saying Baska, which I can only assume is Jabba for boo.
Baska!
The Rancor didn't enjoy eating Jabba's last jester. Apparently, he tasted funny.
Oh, that's such a...
At least it's an actual joke.
It's a bad joke, but it works. People would get that joke.
But it's
so
old. Like, it's like the oldest joke in the book. You know, like, what did the clown taste like? Funny. Like, come on. This is a guy who didn't even spend 5 minutes working on his set. I'm disappointed in him. Send him to the Rancor.
Well, you can let that reflect in your rating, because that's all of his jokes.
Yeah, he's getting the what is the X there from in American Idol or whatever it is.
X out of 10. You want to be careful there, because an X is 10 in Roman numerals. You don't want this to be misunderstood when archaeologists find my markings in this book.
He gets a big fat negative 10.
Negative 10. Can we do a negative 10?
Please?
I'm gonna float this to Dante first. Dante, what do you think?
I'm on board with negative 10, man. One was an actual joke.
I guess
one was a joke for us, but not like his actual like audience.
I feel like we've been too polarizing, in which we gave Ben Kenobi an arguably better set than this 1 out of 10. And if we go minus 10 on this guy, then it's just going to keep getting worse, where by the end of the book, we got to the worst guy is like minus 8 million out of 10.
All right. Which, we'll give this guy a 0.
Okay, I'm happy with 0.
Maybe we should bump Ben back up to like a 3. And I'm with Carlisle now that Vader's at an 8. Like...
I'm willing to give Vader a 6.5.
I think our votings have to be final. We just have to be critical going forward because there's a lot in this book, and I'm probably gonna have to come back to this book with other people.
All right, so let's go to Yoda. No, you have to save Yoda for someone else.
I'm looking through the people again. I don't think Yoda's in this. No, he is. Yoda is in this.
All right, but you save
first
that
we have
for
an,
someone else.
We have an actual character though. Next, it's C-3PO. Everyone's favorite protocol droid.
Everyone's favorite jokester.
Because you're going to probably use this again with other people. How many people, comedians, are there in the book?
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What's 3 times 12? I'll tell you what it is. It's 36. So there's 36 in the book.
There's 36? 36 jokers in this book.
Jokers for days.
Yeah, we do. But
we're on the fourth.
Yeah, there's no way.
We'll get through all of them, guys. Buckle in.
You have at least 10 episodes that you can use this book in if you do 3 jokes, 3 stand-ups per episode.
Actually, he has 12. Cause
fuck off.
Because 3 times 12. We just discussed this, Phil.
No, fuck you, Dante. Get out of here with this shit.
You with your math skills. Fucking guy with, like,
it's not skills. He literally
10.
Said,
what, did you
what's
go
3
to
times 12?
Or something?
Listen.
But Dante,
look at me and Dante. With my math skills and listening skills. Okay, so as Dante clearly,
you guys on your impression of me.
The MC that announces people, I haven't been reading his contributions, but he's actually got some good stuff.
So, what the hell?
For the Rancor Keeper, well, I thought, you know, we better get to the meat of it, but I may start reading, because for the Rancor Keeper, he says, I actually know this guy's name, but he looks after the Rancor, which explains the smell. Please give a warm welcome to him, whoever he is, which is, you know, shade that I think communicates to everyone that who gives a shit who this guy is. And then C-3PO, he says, the protocol droid is up next. He's fluent in 6 million forms of communication and knows 3 jokes.
Oh,
nice.
Good stuff. Would you like to hear those 3 jokes?
This guy's getting an 11 out of 10.
What's R2-D2 short for? He's only got little legs.
That's a good one. I like that.
That was a genuine laugh from Phil there. You can't hide behind your shame there, buddy.
Come on, that's kind of good. Also, the alcohol could be judging me right now, so...
I think it's your
Here's
run,
the thing
man.
As well. I would say this is another joke that caters to just Star Wars fans and not the people in the audience, but they might know of different R2-D2 droids, and that might make sense to them. It probably makes sense to any that kind of droid, and they recognize the name probably, so
That's
that
true.
Works. This
works.
Next one is decent as well. What? Why did the... Fuck.
No, I don't think that's the joke, Don.
Disney have really gone edgy recently. Just turned C-3PO into like an aggressive person.
I love it if this book just turned into
everyone hating him.
I love it this book just turned into like 3PO just failing on his set and just going, fuck.
Why did the droid cross the road? It was programmed by a chicken. Good stuff.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Look, I'm not going to lie. He should have gone on after Darth Vader did that joke. Because then it would just pulled everything together. Again, Disney, you need one of us to be proofreading this. Because you don't know
Phil
how to lay your jokes out.
Phil needs to become a producer on this us. Set. This series of sets.
If they're making a TV show, you're damn right I'm going to be a producer.
A fucking Star Wars stand-up TV show.
Look,
dude,
you know,
just live
at
the Apollo. It's weekly, and it's just Star Wars characters.
Dude, imagine American Idol, but with freaking Star Wars characters. It'd be
okay,
amazing.
Wait. If we're going to do this, you need to have three judges, right? Do we have a guest judge or no guest judge?
Simon Cowell.
As the guest judge?
As the guest judge.
He also exists in this other universe that's obviously very far there. Away.
You can't have any type of American Idol show without a Simon Cowell type.
Obviously.
And it's Disney, so they can just throw all the money they need to get Simon Cowell.
It could be written weird so it looks like a Star Warsy name. Like, it could be S-Y-M-U-N, but until then it's like Simon Cowell type is his literal name.
So it'd be like BoJack Horseman, like a Ryan Seacrest type.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. And then second guest, Gordon Ramsay. We'll get the British version of Simon Cowell, but for food.
Because that makes sense. Let's put a British food dude in a comedy set voting thing.
What do you call a pirate astromech?
Arr.
You're so close.
Damn it.
I reckon you can figure this one out. If you start on R, where could you go from there that makes it Star Warsy?
Fuck if I know. I'm not drunk enough.
Two?
R2, yeah.
Ah! Fuck, I even was thinking R2. Fuck!
When I bought this, I was at the shop with Chris, my housemate and co-host of Dungeons and Dragons, for anyone listening to that with me.
Wait. Was he trying to find some more creams?
No, we weren't looking for moisturizers at that point in time. That's a throwaway joke for people who are fans of, I guess, me.
I'm a fan of you. I got it. I love it.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I brought it in, for Christ's sakes. Does that not get me anything?
No.
Jeez.
No, I don't think so. Probably not. Sorry. I'm afraid that's how it is.
Glory hog over here.
This guy over here just thinks, you know, he just makes some little joke and everybody should just, you know, just suck his dick or something.
No, just not a fan. No, thank you.
You probably can't.
He's no C-3PO, I'll tell you that. I bought this book and the whole thing was just me reading jokes out loud and him trying to guess the punchline because that's how predictable most of these are. And he nearly got all of them.
Fuck.
And then I guess some of these are just, I don't even know what they're going for. Like, we had one a couple ago that just wasn't a joke.
It wasn't a joke.
No,
I
was
even,
like, how do you tell if it ranks?
Scratches in butter or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, C-3PO is never an intentionally funny character in the series. This is a decent set, I think. That's all his jokes.
That's pretty good.
They're pretty good. I think they're getting more love from us than the other ones have been getting.
It's better than Vader's overall. Ooh. Like, besides Bunch
Yeah,
I
might give this... Like a 6?
I'm
like
willing to give
it a 6.
Or 8. Yeah. 6.
No, because Vader's was like a 6.5 or whatever, wasn't it?
No, Vader's averaged out at 4, so he's beating Vader.
Yeah, we're not allowed to retcon it. We're not pulling a George Lucas.
Frick, okay, 6.
I'm willing 6.5.
Should we do one more and then move on because apparently we're at 31 minutes on my recording?
Nice, let's do it.
I'll read the MC this time. Next up, Grand Moff Wilhuff Tarkin. Will Huff enjoys grav ball, long walks in the forest, and disintegrating whole planets using his terrifying battle station.
Nice. I'm glad that Tarkin's in this. I heard Tarkin and I'm like, yes, let's get some Tarkin jokes in here.
Tarkin, the best character of the Star Wars in terms
he really
of
is.
Just witty one-liners. He's always throwing them out
left
before
and
he
right,
kills
just...
entire planets.
Oh, God.
What's the deal with battle station food anyway? Okay. I hear that rebel spies have stolen all the toilets from the Death Star. My stormtroopers are investigating, but so far they have nothing to go on.
Oh. And you know what?
You just gotta do the squatty potty. Come on. It's not that hard.
They have to do the Japanese style. But this is a joke I can actually see him doing, like at an open mic on the Death Star. You know they have... You know they have, like, fucking Talent Night or some shit on the Death Star.
He just starts...
And he's pulling off this shit, and all the fucking Stormtroopers are like, this is fucking not funny, but we have to laugh or else he's gonna fucking kill us. Yeah. He's gonna get Vader to zip us through.
He just
so
gets
everyone's
on...
laughing.
He just gets
trying
on stage.
Jerry Seinfeld.
He just gets on stage and he's like, rebel spies have stolen the toilets from the Death Star.
Your right. Accents are getting pretty fucking good, Dante.
Thanks, man. I'll keep doing impressions whenever I can come up with them. I should have done Darth Vader. Oh, anyway.
I should have sent you the Darth Vader joke so then you could have bothered. I thought about doing the impression, but I just couldn't be fucked. I don't
All you
got to
do is
that.
Cover your mouth with your hand and you've basically got the mask.
It's true.
They're also looking into the theft of a shipment of filing cabinets. It looks like the work of organized crime.
Oh, God.
I'm just imagining works, this though. In Tarkin's voice now, and I really like it.
Any idiot in the crowd would get it.
Yeah, and every idiot in the crowd is laughing, at least he's or someone accessible. Who's drunk.
I ordered a million camouflage uniforms for the troops, but now I can't find them.
That's pretty good. Again, I'm imagining all this in Tarkin's voice, and it's making it 10,000 times better than the actual joke.
I'm actually picturing the actor playing Tarkin doing the set live.
He's just like he wrote deadpan. This book. Maybe that's who he's it not was. Smiling or anything, and he's just doing it in his Peter Cushing voice, and it's amazing. Yeah.
And it's like he's expecting, like, I'm an amazing comedian. These are amazing jokes. And he's just doing a deadpan, looking straight ahead, doesn't like, turn his head at all.
He's like, I don't need to support the jokes if the joke is so solid. I don't need to support it with a laugh or any bodily movement.
Yeah, he's just like, organized crime.
I love it.
Laugh!
11 out of 10.
And he just looks over at Vader, and Vader just starts choking one guy. You know, it's like,
the guy that
everybody starts like,
freaking
oh my
Dave.
God, standing
come
ovation.
On, Dave.
Yeah, Dave is good, dead. Dave is dead.
Tarkin and Vader get on. You know, it's bizarre. It's one of it seems to be the
bow
only sort of healthy
wow.
If he wanted to help his buddy out on set, what he could do is choke people while the joke was being told, and then let go, and then suddenly everyone would be wheezing. You
so
know,
it's kind
and
of
that,
laughing.
Yeah,
then everyone in the audience is wheezing. Is a wheezer laugher.
Yeah, it's like you're laughing so much you can't even get the oxygen behind a proper laugh.
Like
might,
Phil's laugh.
Might make you seem like you're absolutely killing it. Like my laugh.
Asshole.
As well. I do a lot of reason. But I just smoke a lot.
I do that annoying thing.
What are you, a fucking frog over there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
So what are we giving Tarkin? Like, I'm gonna
like
him, like,
honestly, I like
four.
Him better than C-3PO, just like from,
no, I like
from the performance.
if we're taking the jokes without Tarkin in it, just the jokes pure, they're kind of weak.
Well, yeah, but
if
like
we're
this
putting
is a whole.
Wait, hold on.
A review of,
I'm not all right, done. All right. I'm actually moving my head as if I'm talking to Dante right now. Carlisle's on my right, Dante's on my left. That's how I'm looking at this shit. Let's just give him a fucking 6.
I think love 6 it. Is too high. I'd want it to bring maybe. It down to maybe a 4 or a 3.
It's at a 5 now.
All right, yeah, let's put 5. Right, that'll probably do. Before right. this next segment, I'm going to pour another drink, and you'll see why.
Are you going to do a spit take? Is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, that's the whole segment. It's entirely a visual gag. There will be no setup to it. It's just every now and again, I'll do a spit take. So this next segment is called Shit I've Done When My Parents Weren't Looking.
Nice.
I am not going to answer any of these questions.
So, yeah, Phil pleads the fifth, even features. Though it doesn't apply to him up there.
I think there's something like that in Canada.
I don't know if you guys have any... If your parents listen to your audio output, mine surely don't.
My brother does.
So yeah, I don't know if you guys are willing to share any stories that you think might be funny on the fear that it will come back to bite you, but...
you guys don't know the next story that's coming out on Why Did I Do That? And I think it's coming out the day before
Christmas.
So for Christmas.
Context for anyone, I'm pretty sure literally everyone who listens to this podcast are just people who have actually been on Why Did I Do That? But in case you haven't or don't know it, Why Did I Do That is a podcast by a co-host of mine, actually, from my podcast, A Podcast for Everyone, where he tells embarrassing stories and he gets guests on to tell embarrassing stories. It's a good time. I was on it recently and I described something I did which was extremely dangerous and life-threatening while my parents weren't looking, but I won't reiterate it here because I already did that on a podcast, but go and check that out if you're into that.
You should link it. It's going to be linked in the description down below, so you
yes,
can click on
I'll
that link.
Yes, I'll link it in the description.
If he remembers.
Forget, but let's
yeah,
find
you.
Out.
I'll text you. It's fine.
So, one time I was at the zoo and...
Did you throw shit at a monkey?
Why is that where your mind went? I want to cross-examine you for a second here.
Can we have a psychological exam of Phil for the next segment?
I did
segment?
Something while my parents weren't looking. It was at a zoo, and you just went, well, there's one option left here.
This was the setup. This is the right only logical on. Explanation.
And that makes it, of course, so much more embarrassing that the answer is yes, I did throw my own feces at a monkey. No, obviously that's not what I did. So
it would have been better if you did.
There was a petting zoo section of this zoo.
Did you molest a llama?
So after the poo thing, it was we thought that we kind of hit you know, a peek on bizarre places for you to go. But no, and again, it was, of course, extra embarrassing that you figured out that I did fuck a llama. So, yeah.
I want to know what dark crap happened during Phil's childhood.
I actually had a pretty rewarding relationship with that llama going forward, but I had to cut it off when her dad insisting on waiting the 10 minutes on the ice cream.
See, that's a deal breaker.
That was a fucking great joke, by the way.
That was good. 10 out of 10 set.
10 out of 10 fucking joke. Anyway, there was a petting zoo section in this fucking zoo. With, you know, goats and stuff, and you could pet them, and they gave you bags of popcorn to feed to them. So they lived a pretty cushy life. And we left and we went around the other parts of the zoo. And at one point, my dad broke off and said, I want to go see the white tigers because the that exhibit's about to close for the day. So I just want to go do that quickly. But I know you guys are heading home. So you walk that way towards the car park and then I'll catch up with you. Which worked out for me because this next bit could never have happened if I thought my dad was watching. Because he's the stern parent in my household.
Of course he is.
My mum is the one with the, let's call it, sense of humour. So, me and my brother are by the Lynx enclosure. There is one Lynx in
Ooh, that's Canadian.
Tank. The deodorant brand?
No, Lynx actually has the animal. It's a Canadian. Fuck I think, you.
I think they're a bit more widespread than that.
They're, I know, I've seen them down here.
Fuck off, they're Canadian. I'm claiming
there's one
the
in my room right now in Sheffield. I've called him Phil.
Fuck off.
Adopt him. Adopt him now. Tell him not to think about having sex with llamas.
I don't think I have to. So, we're at this Lynx enclosure. It's got, like, a glass front and its own walls. So, there's no mesh cage or anything. There's nothing obvious between the world and the Lynx, but the Lynx is probably used to the fact now that it can't interact with anything beyond the realms of its cage. However, and it's taking quite a passive approach to life, it's just sort of absentmindedly following the people outside of its cage, but it's not really that interested in anything until it suddenly really squares up.
Oh god.
And me and my brother are by the cage and we're like, well, why is this really squared up? What's going on? So we turn around to where it's looking, and one of the goats from the petting zoo part has gotten out of the petting zoo part. It's just roaming around and having a good time. From the way the staff are reacting, it looks like this is something that happens quite often and isn't a very big deal because, you know, it just moves around and is quite friendly and just asks for more popcorn. So me and my brother, my older brother Harry, we got some of the popcorn and we made a trail from the goat.
Fuck. Oh, you son of a bitch. I love it.
From the goat to the Lynx enclosure. And obviously I'm sure the Lynx is normally aware of the fact it can't go beyond its cage, but it appears to have forgotten because it is squaring up right next to the cage. The goat is looking straight down at the ever-growing trail of popcorn that's magically manifesting towards its eyes, thinking that we're the most wonderful people.
I love
and
this
now
story.
A crowd has started to form. I'm amazed no one tried to stop us.
No, because every single person there is like, I wonder what's going to happen. These kids are geniuses. And
staff
the fact that
saw us doing it, though. You think staff would have had something to say?
No, they're like, fuck it. Nothing's bad's going to happen. This is the third time this week this is happening.
So eventually it gets to the point where the goat is, and this Lynx really chooses its moment. The goat is right next to the glass and hasn't noticed anything. And the Lynx
is a dumb
just
goat.
Jumps straight into the fucking glass. It just face plants. It makes a loud ring, you know, like when you flick a drinking glass, you know, but like,
yeah,
100 times more, you know, because you really got that power on it. Oh, it was so funny. And the crowd took on a very funny dynamic after that, because as I've explained, in my house it's kind of the opposite, but I think for generally there was a lot of dads wetting themselves and a lot of mums looking fucking horrified. What we've done. Like I said, if my dad was anywhere near us, we never would have had the balls to do this. We would have been in trouble on the ride home.
I have something similar, not as extreme as trying to kill a goat in front of people.
Yeah, sure. Let's phrase it like that. That's what I tried to fucking do.
Instead, what else were you trying to have sex with it?
Listen, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of blacked out near the beginning of this story.
Either. It's me, Carlisle, avid feces flinger and goat molester.
Listen, there's a lot of.
I shouldn't use my real name on these podcasts, but I fucking do.
So when I was younger, I used to take things apart at my house. My mom would be like, "Fine, it's fine. Just like take the door hinge off or something like that." And one time, my dad came home early, and so I literally, my mom was really cool. She's like, "Oh, it's fine, it's fine." I'm taking the thing apart. Then all of a sudden, my brother goes, "Dad's home." I'm like, "Fuck." Then my brother's running around going, "He swore, he swore, he swore." And this is like a three-year-old running around yelling he swore, so he can't really pronounce the word properly. And my mom's like, she's trying not to swear, and she's trying to put the door hinge back together before my dad comes, because I'm not supposed to be playing with his tools. It was hilarious. It was funnier
or
in my
his door,
head.
I imagine.
It's a door.
So he's not going to question all the unscrewed hinges to this door, but the tools in your hand.
Yes, pretty much, yeah. He was Look, my dad was a special individual when I was younger. Now we have a great, great relationship, but he was like hardcore, like straight-laced, like you don't do this, you don't do that, you follow the rules, all that. And now that I'm older, when I turned 18, he literally told me, make sure you don't name it after me. And yeah, one time me and your mom, we got high on magic brownies, tried to go home to your grandmother's place, and we couldn't open the door, and your grandmother had to open the door for us. And I said, "Merci, madame." For your non-speaking French people, that's "thank you, ma'am," to my grandmother, his mother. So my dad was a real wild child. He nearly killed a man, too.
Oh, fun.
Not purposely.
If we're talking about our parents being a bit too honest with us, I'll probably run this by my parents and then cut it out. Maybe just my mum. But, So people who don't know, recently there was a big collaborative effort. When I say recently, it'll be fucking months ago by the time this comes out. But there was a big collaborative effort between all of our podcasts to create awareness for mental health, for Mental Health Day, International Mental Health Day. So we all got together, we talked about our mental health. And on the one that I did with a bunch of British people. We had Alex from the Alex and Alex podcast on. Well, one of the Alexes from the Alex and Alex podcast on. It doesn't suffice to say Alex from Alex and Alex. And he talked about being paranoid in his youth that he had been circumcised and just not told.
Such a weird thing to be fucking paranoid about.
Yeah, it was odd. But my mum listened to that, and she had a suggestion for why that might have happened. This is what my mum said. Oh, and on a funny note, when you were talking about the penises and whether or not they were circumcised, you should know that for some men, your dad being one, their foreskin goes back and stays back, so the penis looks like it's circumcised, but it is not. So maybe your friend has a willy like that. Genuine fucking message I've received from my own goddamn mother.
But I don't know how I'd react.
I didn't even say anything like, "Mum, what the fuck?" like that, because I'm just so used to it now, because my mum's very cool for a mum. Sometimes okay. She's too cool, and I had to unfollow her for a good while on Facebook. Because, so, I think for her birthday, a friend of hers got her as a joke. I own it now. She just gave it to me for whatever fucking reason. A mug in which the handle is a penis. But it's a terrible mug, because the handle is hollow. So if you have any hot drinks, it heats the penis up and you can't hold the fucker. So, what was it? So my mum posted a picture of this fucking mug. And then, you know, with the description of how terrible it was. And then all the comments with her, and she engaged with all of them in kind. And it was horrifying. And all the, and I think she even said a thing. "Oh, now I've got a hot penis to hold while my husband's away." The husband being my father.
And your mom sounds awesome.
Well, she put this on her Facebook profile. Lots of her old friends like commenting with more like my dad's penis jokes and handling hot dick jokes. And my older brother just commented on it. This, when people are looking back through my history of what made me snap, this is what it was. This made me snap. This is why I'll be going to therapy. It's this post, Mom. And yeah, I agree. That's probably going to be the key formative experience for my brain going forward.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. I was going to do a whole segment on just shit my mum's done online. I guess that'll probably do, because I've shamed her enough. She's obviously great, but...
Your mom sounds awesome.
She is awesome.
You need to get her on the podcast.
I probably should. I'll be going... I'm going home very soon. I'll probably try and get her to record an episode. She likes to shitpost as much as anyone else does, I think. Does anyone else have any stories of shit they did when their parents weren't looking at that they'd be willing to share? Or should we move on to the next segment? Because I do have one more planned.
Well, I'm thinking we should probably move on because I was a good kid, so...
So, this next segment's called Nectar. See if you can figure out why, and you'll get absolutely no points if you do. I went looking for BuzzFeed quizzes that were just terrible. Because they are. They're all terrible.
BuzzFeed quiz. I went on a deep dive.
I'm just going to...
At one point.
Read. Yeah, they're so good, aren't they?
They're so amazing.
I'm just going to read the titles of some of the favorite ones that I found, and maybe we could do one, or maybe we could even make one. All you have to do is just choose two completely unrelated things, and then make a quiz that claims to do something completely impossible. That's all it takes to do. That's all you need to do to make a BuzzFeed quiz. So, I'll just read some of the kind of indicative ones first. Maybe not the funniest ones, but which piece of IKEA furniture are you? I just don't know how they plan on putting any of that together. And then, tell us your dessert preferences, and we'll tell you how many times you'll have sex this week.
I want to do that again, one.
Should we do that one quickly? Because, you know, so it's, as we're recording this, it's Friday. I'm so single. I'm not going out ever this week. And then I'm going home. So I'm not going to fuck this week. And I would like to find out if it suggests I will anyway. So
I'm in a committed relationship and Dante's married. So I don't know if anybody's getting laid.
Let's find out.
Well, out of a sundae and an affogato, I don't know what an affogato is, and the pictures won't load because BuzzFeed is a shit website. So I'm going to kick a sundae with caramel or with coconut. I'm clicking with caramel. I'm not going to consult you guys on that. That's just the correct option. Chocolate or rainbow? I don't know. There's no
chocolate.
Pictures. So yeah, chocolate. Loaded with treats or classic? Again, there's no pictures, so this could
loaded.
Be anything. Loaded with treats.
Loaded.
And then it's chocolate or ice cream? I'm going to click ice cream. I'm a fan of ice
chocolate.
Cream.
Chocolate.
I'm
chocolate,
gonna have
man.
Sex five fucking times this week.
Congratulations, your hand is getting
sex.
Action.
I've got an exciting Saturday planned. So
your hand is getting a lot of action. I think you should pick up some lube.
Lube is for cowards.
Jesus.
Obviously, I just want to clarify, obviously not how I feel. I always use plenty of lube when I'm fucking llamas. Now,
callback.
Again, something that they could have absolutely no control in predicting. Your pizza opinions will reveal how many children you'll have. After that, we've found just some really lazy ones. So this one, I found two which were really lazy. This is the less lazy one. It's what's your zodiac sign's ice cream flavor?
Wait, what?
You choose your zodiac sign. There's one question. It's what's your zodiac sign? You choose your zodiac sign, and then it just gives you an ice cream flavor, and there you go. I'll tell you, boys.
I think we should try
that. Gemini. My birthday's on the June 19th. The June 19th. The one and
the
only.
June. There's more than one June 19th. This is the June 19th, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I can't tell people which June 19th it is, because I already tell people my actual name, and I can't put too much of my actual details out there.
It's every year, though. Oh.
So... I got strawberry. Your enthusiasm and humor as a Gemini is best represented by a bright pink ice cream. Really, BuzzFeed? How do you fucking figure?
Do Scorpio. Do Scorpio. I want to hear what
you
Scorpio
want to find
has.
Out what you are? Okay. Yeah. This is great content. Oh, I've got to refresh it. Just trash. Scorpio. You got cookie dough. Scorpio. You have undeniable charm. Like cookie dough, I fucking guess. Just like ice cream. That has entire chunks of cookie dough in it. People get paid to make these. People get paid to write these fucking quizzes.
I could make $1 billion if I worked there, Christ.
Dante, what's your star sign?
I don't freaking... What's September?
What's your birthday? I'll cut it
September?
Out. You are a Virgo. I have to refresh again. Fucking thing.
Because obviously it can't be more than one star sign.
Giving them all the traffic by just refreshing constantly on this page. I'm determined to know what every fucking possible ice cream could be. You got peanut butter. Virgo, you're so loving and comforting. Just like the taste of creamy peanut butter. You're reliable. Amazing. You're reliable. Just like peanut butter is a reliable standby in all situations.
Oh, you know what's sad is, like, recently I've soured on just plain peanut butter. I like peanut butter in, like, chocolate and desserts, but, like, just general normal peanut butter I've, like, soured on. So this is sad for me.
Oh, so this carries extra weight for you just now.
Yeah, it does.
Because you feel like it's not reliable. You feel like BuzzFeed might be lying to you, Dante.
BuzzFeed's lying to us.
This was the less lazy out of the two really lazy ones I found.
Oh god, I want to know what the lazy one was then.
The really lazy one is just, which woodland creature should give you a pep talk? There's one question, and the question is, which woodland creature should give you a pep talk? You choose the woodland creature, and that's your answer.
Are you fucking kidding
me? There's no quiz aspect to it. You just choose the animal, and that's your answer. You
Wait,
do
what
all
are
the
choices?
Work for them. I don't know, because all the choices are names. They've given them human names just to be extra weird about it. Oh, now so there's a Simon the snail, Phyllis the hedgehog, Parker the fox, Claire the bear, Alex the otter, Bianca the deer, Vanessa the owl, Stan the chipmunk, and Arthur the bunny.
All right, first off, I'm a little pissed that they didn't do... What's that thing where the first letter of both names...
Alliteration, yeah. They started strong with Simon the Snail and then just completely abandoned it.
Are you fucking... Like, Deborah the Deer. Like, come
on.
You
can do more.
That is indeed alliteration, Phil.
Fuck off.
Good job.
I'm just trying to do the job for them, making it... I'm pissed off at BuzzFeed right now.
So then, now we get
Phil is now drunk and irritated with BuzzFeed. These are two things.
That's how I exist.
I've entered the Carlisle zone.
Which are politically worrying. Which ousted Arab ruler are you?
Yes!
Hold on. Hold on. I need a moment. What the fuck?
I haven't had to read it out loud yet.
Jesus fuck. Which ousted Arab leader are you?
Yeah, which ousted Arab Spring ruler are you?
Oh, Jesus, even let's get more like, can you throw in more goddamn fucking keywords in a fucking... Dear God, best BuzzFeed, really?
but the questions they ask you are so BuzzFeed as well. In trying to determine this, one of the questions are, choose your favorite Tang flavor.
Wait. Oh, that hurts my brain.
I'm just going to read all these questions because they're hilarious, okay? Because they start out, like, woke seeming, and then it just devolves into your average BuzzFeed quiz. Choose a resource to exploit. You know, they got oil and meat and shit. Choose a phrase. And some of these are, you know, genuine catchphrases from these leaders.
No, it's general.
Then it says,
general.
Choose a social network to censor. You know, choose a SpongeBob SquarePants. And then there's just pictures of SpongeBob SquarePants. Choose a disgruntled demographic. Then it kind of back to it. Choose a Tang flavor.
Jesus.
Choose
fuck.
A TV channel to blame. And that's it. It's. This is not okay. Then we just get to the dark ones. Pick a dog, and we'll reveal your deepest fear.
ooh, let's do that one. Let's do that one. I want to know what my deepest fear is.
I'd love to do this one with you. It won't fucking load.
Ah!
Okay, I've got it.
Fucking cock tease.
So, I guess I'm just going to have to describe all these dogs to you because of this auditory medium in which we're in. The first is two dogs, so they've already fucked up there. It's two little white puppies. I'm not going to be able to do
any of these. The answer is more dogs.
One of them is a gray poodle-looking thing wearing a vest. It's very small and very fluffy. After that, we've got what looks like a little Yorkshire Terrier. It's very, very cute. After that, I think they're all puppies. After that, we've got a long-snouted boy. After that, we've got a little golden lab, I think. It's very happy to be there. It's snuggling in a rug. Then we've got a very alert-looking pointer dog. You know, he's not messing about. He's doing his job. Then we've got, I think, a different gold lab, but he's holding a rose in his mouth. It's very cute, and he's wearing a bow tie. Aww. Then we've got two that fucking one. Dogs again. Two fucking dogs.
I mean, more dogs. So we pick the answer, a dog. So,
and then we've got a corgi wearing a birthday hat.
Corgi.
Corgis are overrated.
Fuck you.
All right, so I guess I'm the deciding vote between corgi wearing a birthday hat and dog holding rose. I'm gonna have to give it to corgi wearing a birthday hat.
Yes.
You got clowns. That's your deepest, darkest fear. That's me and you, Phil. We're scared of clowns, apparently.
Well, have you seen it? It's fucked up.
To be fair, clowns do suck, but it's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about. It's definitely not my deepest, darkest fear.
What is
your I feel like it's something darkest. You should spend more time thinking about.
It's true.
Let's do you then, Dante. You chose the dog word. You got death. You're scared of death. Do you know how we know? It's the bow tie. It's the bow tie of death. That's how we know. You're afraid of death because you don't know what happens after you die. Plus, the thought of never seeing anyone you love ever again terrifies you. That's the flavor text.
Jesus.
That's the flavor text for this fucking quiz.
That's you're making me actually scared.
That's fucking
this isn't
dark.
Even the end of the dark ones yet. What kind of garbage are you is the next one.
Fuck.
And all the questions
fire,
are like,
what I am. I'm a
pick a
fire.
Rainbow. Pick a unicorn, pick a baby. And the pick a baby one is troubling because based on the pictures of the babies, what they're really asking me is choose a race.
Are you racist? Are you really racist? That's what they're asking.
Pick a ray of sunshine, pick
if
a trash
you are,
bag.
It makes you more garbage.
I don't even know what kinds of trash. All right, we're going to do this. We're doing this one. Pick a rainbow. These are six almost identical rainbows.
Just pick one.
It's probably
is there a double
I'm just going to have to give you one of them is in a field. One of them's in a browner field. One of them's along a rainbow. One of them's across a road. One of them's way up high in the sky. And one of them's by the sea.
The sea.
Pick a unicorn. One of them, again, is just two fucking unicorns. BuzzFeed, check your pronouns. They're not fucking, no. They appear to be mother and child, so that would be worrying. One of them is doing that thing that the Rossport horse does, where it's like on its two back legs and it's doing doing punchy movements.
It's rearing.
Rearing, there you go. Fabulous. I'm so glad I had you on, the rearing expert. And then we had, now I don't believe that, because you rear a horse, that's like you bring it up. You raise it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking.
Listen, there's a lot of. I finished my Mickey of alcohol. It's empty. And I haven't had anything to eat yet.
After that, we've got a horse, a fucking unicorn, rather. I've lost
a horse fucking a unicorn?
A horse fucking a unicorn, which would get my vote. But it's just a regular unicorn standing still in what looks like a swamp. Then we've got a horse doing the standy, uppy, punchy thing again. But it's near the sea this time. And if our previous answers are anything to go by, things are naturally better when they're by the sea.
The sea.
Then we've got the mother and child. Then we've got one that looks like it's on like America's Got Talent or something. Like it looks like it's on a stage and it's like extra white. And
racist.
Yeah, well that's me. I'm gonna pick the white baby, you just fucking watch. And then we've got a black unicorn. What are we choosing, boys? The black unicorn is also by the sea.
The sea.
Dante's like
are we
the
going
sea.
White by the sea or black by the sea? Be
are you
careful
woke
what
or
we're
say.
Not racist? Black by the sea.
Shall I just flip a coin on how racist we are?
Yes, let's flip a coin.
There you go, kids. This is the deciding factor in which race gets my ultimate approval. Spoiler: I can't say these things. So I flipped the coin, but we didn't assign anything to this. Okay, heads.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Okay, I'm going to give tails to the white one because I can see more of the tail on the white one.
Okay.
In the picture. There you go. It is tails, so we're going white.
We're racist. We're going
white.
Right,
that's
good.
A horrible thing to say out loud. This is the tricky one. Pick a baby.
What quiz are we doing?
We're doing what kind of garbage are you?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
How could you take that? All these are very relevant questions. I don't know how to describe these babies. This is going to come off badly. All right. I'm just going to... one of them's handsome. And then the next one's... They're all healthy looking. We're going to use a random number generator. That's what we're going to do. That's just I can't describe these. As I've noted, they're just all different races. It's basically just a gradient color wheel.
Do the third from the bottom.
There's two rows of three.
Fuck. So there's how many rows of three?
The middle one. Do the middle.
Come on, let's see if you can do 2 times 3.
Fuck off.
What? Okay, I've got number three, which is happens to be a clearly Asian baby. So we're doing
the Carlisle.
That one.
Okay, so we're doing the Carlisle.
Pick. That's me. Wrong kind of Asian, but it's all
right. Close enough. It's
and
close
I,
enough.
I can say that because I'm brown or whatever the thing was I said before.
No, you're not. As we learned in episode two.
Some of my best friends are black, so I can like Asian babies. There you go. That's what it is. Pick a ray of sunshine. One of them's at a sunset. One of them is through some clouds and it really fragments.
Carlisle, you know so the answer is one of them by the sea.
Yeah, it's the one by None the sea.
Oh, one of them is by the sea.
The sea!
Oh, I think two of them are by the sea. So one of them is in between two clouds and one of them is through clouds, so it like really separates a lot.
Through clouds. By the sea.
Through clouds. Through clouds by the sea. Pick a trash bag. None of them are by the sea. This is the only relevant question.
God damn it.
And again, 2 out of 6 of the options are multiple trash bags. One of them is like 7 trash bags.
Seven trash bags it is.
It's 7 black trash bags.
7 it is.
Okay, we're not going to listen to the other ones, although to be fair, I don't know how I'd fucking describe them. We got random shoe. We're a random shoe, guys. Everyone's always wondering what your deal is. Where did you come from? Where's your mate? You're a random shoe. You know what? Do you know how we know? It was the Asian baby. They're always random shoes.
What the fuck? Speed.
Right, and that's not even the last one. This is the last one.
Jesus.
Did you ruin everything? That's the name. When I found this fucking quiz, I just laughed for 5 minutes at the name. It's just called Did You Ruin Everything? That's so funny.
It's
the story of my life.
It's really funny. And then it's this bizarre story where you've just been emotionally abusing this person called Katie and you get to decide how much.
Wait. This is just really sexist right now because why can't we abuse Ken? Why does it have to be Katie? Why can't it be
Because
Ken?
Katie fucking has it coming.
Okay, then. Never mind. I retract my previous statement.
Like, so the first question is, why is Katie upset? What did you do to Katie? And the options are, I pushed her into the snow and asked if she liked eating snow burgers. I threw a big basket of oranges at her long, beautiful hair. Which is just troubling.
That's so weird.
I've just recently watched Justice League for the first time. There's a moment where a guy just kicks over some oranges for no reason. So there seems to be like a through line in my recent life of throwing oranges at people. And I'm really appreciating
it. I want to go with that. Let's go with the oranges. Makes sense.
And then I asked her about her day with the intention of falling asleep in the middle of her reply. I lured her kind but foolish uncle into a swamp and cut off his beard.
Wait.
This is the first question.
How sociopathic are you?
I know, it's fucked. There's no good options. There's no scenario in which you didn't ruin everything.
Well, unless the oranges one is
a fucking asshole and she had this coming.
I think she had it coming.
The oranges one is just so bizarrely phrased that I think I feel drawn to it.
Yeah.
Though it is the least horrible one, and
well,
I kind of feel like
it's horrible. If I'm not mistaken, it said that he threw a case of oranges at her, right?
I threw a big basket of oranges at her long, comma, beautiful hair.
So, first of all, whoever wrote this is a fucking idiot. But we already got that it's BuzzFeed. Second of all, basket of oranges?
Coming at you, Jean-Luc Bouchard. You fucking moron. We'll go with the basket of oranges. The second question is, what happened to the kitchen? It's a mess. And then there's just this picture of this destroyed kitchen.
Sorry, I had tacos.
And then this next bit, some of these questions are just... So, I baked a cake using the heat of my body. I held a party in the kitchen and only invited large dogs. I started making pancakes and then fell asleep for 2 days. I forgot how to make ice cubes, and one thing led to another. This is just good content, actually. This is just this is just the guy shitposting. And it kind of looks like a sociopath while he does it, but this is the kind of thing I might have written.
I love the one thing led to another thing. Like
the ice? You tried to make ice?
You fricked up making ice so bad that you destroyed the kitchen.
Let's go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that then. My car is ruined. What did you do? And then there's a picture of a fucked car. Like, real fucked. Of course... I drove it into a very hard lake. I tried to turn it into the car from flubber, but it was nearly impossible. I feared its power and hurt it before it could hurt me. Just like in Ender's Game, the novel by Orson Scott Card.
That's the full fucking...
That's the full answer, yeah.
We have to go with that one, because that one's the most
fucking... That's amazing.
One.
Well, here's number four. I was eating a delicious melon as I drove on the highway, and trucks came out of nowhere.
I feel like we have a through, though, with melons. Because melons are just big oranges, obviously.
Fuck Dante with the logic.
I like the idea of hurting it before it could hurt you, though. Because if we are being a bit of a psychopath.
Yes, let's go with that one.
The cat looks terrible. What did you do to Mr. Whisker Briskers?
Mr. Whisker Briskers?
Mr. Whisker Briskers.
Oh, here they come up with fucking great names. But they couldn't come up with great names before?
I got him a book deal with an indie publisher. You know what, John? Actually, you've got my full stamp of approval. This is good stuff. Thank you, Jean-Luc Bouchard, for making a diamond in the rough that is BuzzFeed. I tried to make him fuse into a duck so that he could be at least half duck. I ate his fur because it was shiny like keys, which I also eat. I taught him that every sunrise means a sunset for someone else.
Jesus!
That's dark. That one's like just emotionally destroying. Let's do that one.
I quite like the first one. I got him a book deal with an indie publisher. That's just so bizarre.
Yeah. I'm torn. Let's go with the indie book deal.
Okay. The town is on fire. What happened? There's a picture of a town which is admittedly on fire.
Would make sense.
I fought the law, and the law didn't win.
Fuck!
Number two is good, too. Number two just says, I tripped.
I like that one. God. That one's the best.
That's pretty good.
I punished the wicked and released their sins into the air.
Jesus!
And then number four is the only one where you don't take culpability for this. It just says, I'm not 100% sure this is my fault, to be honest.
Not gonna lie. I feel if I was at a place where the town was on fire, that's what I'm saying, even though that it's perfectly my fault.
I feel like that's just your response after having a drunk night and waking up to a burning town.
Even if I was sober in a burning town, that would be my response. Not gonna lie.
What are we doing then? Are we doing that one?
Yeah, makes sense.
Then this one says, ah, the American political system. What did you do?
Donald Trump.
First option is...
Donald Trump.
Okay, you know this isn't my fault, right? Is the first option. I dressed up as James Madison and ran through the House of Representatives screaming, more paperwork, more paperwork, is the second option. I successfully ran for president on a grassroots campaign and did a really bad job once I was assumed office. And I tried transitioning us to a techno... Fuck. This is a hard one to say. I tried transitioning us to a technocracy... Technocracy, but no one was willing to meet me halfway. What's a technocracy?
I have no idea. Technocracy it confuses
technological
me.
Democracy. I don't know.
Well, you know what, kids? This is an educational podcast as well as anything else, because that counts as content. And I'm pressing my mouth right up to the microphone now because I'm stretching to reach my keyboard. What is a technocracy?
Sounds like you're pushing your nose as well.
I was pushing on my pop filter. The government or control of society or industry by an elite of technical experts.
Oh.
That doesn't sound as good.
I quite like the first one because I think we've been playing a character that's just sort of doing whatever the fuck they want, and then this could just happen in the meantime. So I'll go with that one. So we got, huh, I guess you didn't ruin everything.
How the fuck did we not ruin everything?
We got away with it. Well, I'll be darned. I guess I was wrong. You ruined a few things, but you didn't ruin everything. That whole forest over there is barely ruined at all. This is good. This is good. This is funny. This is comedy. I've completely come around on this. My bad. Sorry to blow things out of proportion. Go back to do whatever it is you were doing. Okay, that one's great. I'm gonna Okay, that's the good BuzzFeed quiz.
Carlos comes back and he's like,
the
fuck
good
it, I like it.
BuzzFeed quiz. BuzzFeed on the whole is still terrible.
It's garbage.
That was good. Either provide me with tasty videos or hilarious quizzes, and Jean-Luc Bouchard should be the only person who's allowed to write any BuzzFeed quiz going forward, because just good shit. Good
I love
shit.
How none of us have identified the fact that that name is just a play on Jean-Luc Picard. It's not
well,
a real name.
Well, now you did.
It's
Thanks
not
for
a real
ruining
name.
The imagery.
Well, whoever did this... They should be the only... They should run BuzzFeed. There should be no one else involved. It should be just them.
I agree. I second this. And I third it as well, if I can.
That's a good point to end this episode of Content, presumably.
On a threesome, really? That's the best point?
Yes.
Okay.
Fight me.
I'm not going to fight you. You're in
as
Luxembourg.
You've not been on, as you, this is your first time on the show, Dante. Do you want to tell people where they can find you and everything you've been up to?
Yeah, sure. So, I have, I mean, by this point I might have 17, but right now I have 3 podcasts. I have, Played Indie and Let's Get Contextual and Batman Versus the World. The first two of those, I host by myself. Both of these guys have been on, and, in Played Indie, we take characters existing from popular culture and use them in D&D.
Rocket Raccoon. It's awesome.
He does.
I play Cosmo the Space Dog. I have a wonderful time.
Cosmo the Space Bad Cop was really fun.
Oh, that was a great episode.
And in Let's Get Contextual, we talk about movies and TV shows and comics and stuff. And then in Batman vs. the World, which I host with Jason, we see how Batman would fare in fights against popular culture.
He loses characters a lot from popular of the times, culture. I'm just saying. He just loses constantly.
I mean, you can sure tweet in that opinion, Phil.
I do, but you guys ignore me.
I don't know why. And we have not. So you're just a liar.
Well, by the time this podcast comes out, maybe I did. What up?
I'll put the Twitter handles in the description so you can see if Phil has any... Has any bite, or is he? If he's just all bark,
I'm literally and tweeting Phil... right now.
I will respond to you once you're done.
Damn it,
Phil! Better would you like to tell the good people who you are and where they can find you?
My name is Harry. I have a podcast called Fuck Off. No, I'm not going to do the same bit that Harry did because I'm original. I'm not. I copy, but fuck off. Harry,
at least my intro was original.
Listen, you. You're an asshole.
No one has come on this podcast and pretended to be Rory M. Spence.
That's true.
I am the first.
But Rory M. Spence is a god, so we can't really make fun of Rory M. Spence. He's an amazing guy.
No,
you
can only
do
an actual really good impersonation, as I did. So
I can't do any impersonations.
It was decent. To be fair,
it's true. It was.
I bet Rory M. Spence will disagree with that verdict.
He'll appreciate
he'll appreciate the effort, and I feel like he'll appreciate like one word that was like spot on.
Yeah, your first word. That's it. The rest of it was downhill from there.
Right, Phil. What do you do? Where can people find you?
I host at least one podcast called The Phil Better Show. We talk movies and topics about movies and shit. Check out The Phil Better Show. It's great. At Phil Better on all the social at Phil Better Show on all the social medias, and it's going to be linked in the description down below. Carlisle's probably going to be on it at one point. I don't know. Just
oh yeah, absolutely,
yeah, for sure, because it's going to be fucking random. It's going to be probably my most downloaded goddamn show for some goddamn reason. Dante's been on. Dante, you've been on, right?
Yeah. Listen, I'm glad that you forgot. This just talks about my impact on your show.
Listen, there's a bottle of rum that's empty right now.
It clearly wasn't as memorable as the concept of me maybe coming on.
Yeah.
Fuck all of you. I'm out. Go Canada. Fuck Luxembourg.
Sorry. Yep, fuck Luxembourg. Shout out to all you Luxembourg people, and fuck you as well. Thank you all for listening, except of course if you are from Luxembourg, and we will see you next month on Content, presumably.
Woot woot.